Praise the Lord. God is good. And every time, oh, some of you don't know that, yeah? I say God is good, and you say every time, or all the time. And I say all the time, and you say God is good. Okay? Let's try that again. God is good! And all the time, amen. Praise the Lord. We've been here last week in Mark chapter 15, and there we addressed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Today we want to talk a little bit about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and its implications for us as Christians living in the 21st century. How does that sound? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Last week, we left just by way of family matters. Those of you who weren't here, I had mentioned that we're relocating to Connecticut in a couple of months, hence. Are we in May as yet? Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, we'll be relocated probably sometime in the middle of June. And Diane has been awarded an internship out at Yale. So we're in the process of finishing that. You can clap here. That's cool. We're proud of her as a family, and I'm proud of her as a husband. And that has a lot of implications for us as a family, and we encourage your prayer and your ongoing support, as we know you have been doing in the past, even though you haven't seen us for a while. We did put together a newsletter, and we have it at the, if you're going out right at the top of the steps there, and it tells us some of the, all of the things that we've been involved in, and things we've been trying to finish, like dissertation and moving and all kinds of stuff. So if you care to, you could pick one of those up. They'd be right at the top of the step. And if you didn't get one, we'd be willing to get one to you. Amen. Mark chapter 16. And I like Mark because he's short and to the point. As I said last week, he just deals with the headlines and all the real good stuff. He just goes right to the point, and not as long and, you know, involving. So he gives us the highlights of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and these are his last days. I'll just read verse 6 and 7. Or preferably, why don't we do verse 2? 3. Very early, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. That's Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which is very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Let's pray. We ask your forgiveness of our sins, and that your mercy and your grace will rest upon us today to understand your word and more so to act upon it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I just want to talk about the infinite possibilities that is available to us through Jesus Christ, our faith in him because of the resurrection.
The stone presented a great opposition for the Marys and others who were coming to see Jesus Christ. This stone was specially organized to hinder or to oppose any kind of attempts by the disciples of Jesus Christ to steal away the body or to come up with some resurrection story. Because they said, we know that this deceiver said, this is the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, they say, we know that that deceiver said that he's going to rise again after 3 days. So before the disciples steal the body away and come up with some story, let us seal the tomb. So they come up with this huge stone and they just put it in front of the tomb and they get some cement and stuff and they sealed the tomb. Didn't seem to me to be a normal process, but this was ordained and this was organized just for Jesus. So you ever had one of those situations? I have those all the time, where you think before acting. That's my general modus operandi. You just dive in headlong. You just figure out what you had to do and you just start doing it. And then a little way down the road, you kind of stop and say to yourself, shucks, how are we going to finish this stuff? How am I going to do this? Well, this is Mary's, the two Marys and Salome. They just went and got these spices and they're heading towards the tomb. You know, they just got up early in the morning and said, look, let's go to the tomb and see if we can put some spices on this body. And just as they were about getting there, it suddenly hit them that they had an impossible situation on hand. Now, there was this huge stone that was blocking the entrance to the tomb. They had forgotten that these people had come up with this scenario. So now they're faced with an impossible situation just as they're about to get there. And they get there and find that the stone is rolled away. Hallelujah. Every situation today that you might imagine or come up with that you could think is impossible or hard to do, it is possible through Jesus Christ. Hello? If God has ordained this for you and you believe it to be so, there is no situation that the politicians, that the scientists, that the doctors and the lawyers can contrive that will hinder the operation of God in your life. So they're coming, and they're thinking, oh no, this is just not going to work out this morning. And boom, they're dead. The stone is back. Jesus Christ is risen. And that makes everything possible. Jesus Christ is risen, and that makes the impossibility normal to us as Christians. Hello? Jesus Christ is risen. And that makes all things all right. We could go, we could even do things now without even thinking first. And it's going to happen. You know? You get there and you realize, I was just going on strict emotion. I was just caught up in the moment, but that's all right, because the angel has gone on before. So don't stand back wondering how this is going to happen. Don't hesitate and start to come up with scenarios of your own. It's going to happen. God says so. This is the resurrection we're talking about. The Life Application Bible says there are 5 reasons why this whole resurrection thing is very important to us as Christians. And if there is one thing that is a historical fact about Christianity, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only the Bible that talks about this, all kinds of other historical accounts that talks about this Jesus that walked the earth and is risen. So we know that as a historical fact that Jesus Christ is risen. But it is important to us as Christians to know that Jesus Christ kept his promise. That's what the angel said. In Luke, he says, he is risen. Remember what he told you? See, they had forgotten this.
Well, this is one advantage that the Jews had, or the Sanhedrin had in the disciples. They remembered that Jesus Christ had said this, and they went and blocked the tomb. On the contrary, it seems as if the disciple had forgotten. So the angel had said, remember what he told you?
Jesus himself said that I have risen just as I have told you. So there's a sense in which we can rely on the word of God. We can rely on what Jesus Christ says because we know this is probably the hardest thing that he had to do was to raise himself from the dead. But he did it. And if he could do that, if Jesus Christ could do that to raise himself from the dead, what is this situation that you are encountering that you think is impossible? What is this situation that you are going through that you think is impossible? No, sir. The resurrection of Jesus Christ has demonstrated to us as believers there are infinite possibilities. God can outdo your imagination. Hello? I like that. God cannot do my imagination because, you know, I got that wild imagination thing going. Just when I think it was big enough, God just come in and demonstrate that it's bigger than that. Our imagination limits the infinite possibilities that God has made available to us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ ensures the ruler of God's eternal kingdom will be the living Christ. Just not a fiction of our imagination. Just not a hope. Just not a dream. The ruler of God's kingdom is a reigning, a ruling, and a living Christ.
We're not just like people of some other faith that hope and wish and wonder.
We know that the same Jesus, this same Jesus that you see go, will come again in like manner. This same Jesus that walked the earth, was seen of men, was preached on in the world, was believed by the Gentiles, that was taken up into heaven, this same Jesus will be the ruler over God's kingdom.
Hello? Amen, somebody. That's why we can live every day for God, because we're not guessing. He's made a promise. He's demonstrated his power and his ability. He says he's coming back again, and he's coming. The whole world will be brought into subjection to Jesus Christ.
The whole universe would be brought into subjection. Every power, every being, everything named, everything not named, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything under the earth will be brought at the foot.
We're on his side. Amen.
Christ's resurrection gives us the assurance that we too will be resurrected unto life.
Because we know that technically everybody will be resurrected. But both the Old Testament and the New Testament says that some will be resurrected unto damnation or judgment, and some will be resurrected unto life. We're the unto life bunch.
And that's cool, because the opposite of that is a fiery eternity. We will be resurrected unto life. And I praise God and I revel in that thought and in that knowledge that someday I too,
and all my family and all my brothers and my sisters and my mother and my father
that have passed away
will be resurrected unto life.
The power of God that brought Christ's body back from the dead, that same power is available to us to bring our morally and spiritually dead selves back to life so we can change and we can grow. I say that again. That same power, the power of God that brought Christ's body back from the dead, is available to bring our morally and spiritually dead selves back to life so we can change and grow. Change is possible. We no longer say, that's how I was born and that's how I will stay. We do not make those statements because we can change. Because the power of God is at work in us. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. That mighty power that brought Jesus Christ back from the dead is available to us. God raised Christ up from the dead, and in like manner, he will raise our mortal bodies up to be with Christ. Change is possible. Growing is possible. That is the power of Christ. We need to hook into that because the infinite possibilities that God has in store is available to us through faith in God and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The resurrection provides the church, provides the substance of the church's witness in the world. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we preach Christ and him crucified. We preach Jesus Christ for the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That is our mission. Jesus Christ, in his resurrected state, reiterated that. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. As you are going, preach the gospel to all men. Baptize them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all things. And I am with you even unto the end of the age. This is it. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That is the substantive witness that we have to the world. That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Living then becomes more than life. And life becomes more than just living. Because we know that there is more to life than just the short space and time. A wise man once said, what we consider to be life is just a short space and time that we've given to decide how we really want to live when we die. I made that up. What we are calling life is 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. That's a short space of time compared to eternity. But God gave us that so that we will decide how we really want to live when we die. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, we have this witness. We have this witness and we have this passion to bring man to know Jesus Christ, to finish this commission. I think, my brothers and sisters, one of the tragedy that we are facing is that we are raising a generation of Christians who do not know how to witness, who do not witness. They cannot see and have not seen the power of God at work in the lives of people. They have not seen that God taking a man and changing his life. And if you have never witnessed this, you are missing out on something great. If you have never shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with a man and see that that simple message can change a whole man's life, you are missing out on something great. And we are raising a generation of Christians, of young people who do not share in this experience, who do not go out and share the gospel and see a man bow his head, cry, repent, and come to Jesus Christ. When you experience that, that changes something inside of you. You begin to say, well, this thing is powerful. You know that. And we have tons and tons of Christians who've never, ever done that, seen that in operation. And to me, that's a great tragedy. That's a great loss for the church of God. So people are going about wondering, is this thing really working? I mean, if I wasn't born in this Christian family, would it be the same way? Would people, you know? Because they've never really seen that thing happen. I know, I was praying one time in our village, in our town back home. I'm saying, Lord, I want you to save one of the worst guys in this town. Just so that people would have a clear demonstration of the power of God. And lo and behold, within the space of that year,
one of the worst guys, the guy who always wanted to beat me up for sharing the gospel, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I said, whoa, this thing is powerful. This thing is powerful.
And we are missing out on that. We have put that sharing of the gospel or that preaching in categories for special kind of people. We could send them all over the place, but amongst us, we're not having it. Just the simple act of preaching the gospel itself. Even those days when we used to be in the Brethren Church and we'd preach every Sunday evening and there were no Christians there, that was still good too. You know, we used to have the Sunday evening gospel services. You know, the real good Brethren stuff. We had these evangelistic services every Sunday evening and we're really preaching to ourselves. But even that was okay too, because we heard the gospel and we were hearing it and knowing that this is what it was supposed to do, and you had a way of organizing it in your mind so that you could do it. But now even that is gone. And we resorted to what I don't know. And I think, my brothers and sisters, I think we're reaching a very strange point when we have people who cannot articulate the power of Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the work of God, repentance, and salvation, which God has commissioned us every instant with Jesus Christ and his disciples after his resurrection. He is saying to them, go and do this stuff. Go and share this gospel. Go out there and witness to men. Bring them in. Teach them to observe all things. Come on, church. This is the hope of the world. The risen Christ is the hope of the world that we live in. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news unto salvation, has been made possible, has been verified by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. We have been commissioned to do that. And that challenge is upon my heart. I hope it is upon your heart. And indeed, in the recent years, it has been sort of challenged by, you know, being involved in education all the time and hanging around politically correct people and all that stuff. You start to wonder about sharing the gospel. You start to wonder about being fanatical. But I wish we had some fanatical people in here. Who am I getting arrested for the kingdom of God? That's it. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The resurrection provides that substance of the church's witness to the world that this risen Christ can change. Men who would come to him in repentance, they can receive forgiveness of sins and can be assured of a hope in heaven. The resurrection tells us that if in this life alone we had hope, then of all men, we would be most miserable. If this life alone was the only hope we had, we would be miserable people. Then there'd be really no meaning for life. It'll be eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. But no, we know there's more than that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ once again has demonstrated to us that there are infinite possibilities that is available to us through faith in God and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What is your hindrance? What is blocking you? We have too many people waiting for a word. The word has been spoken. Go! God could stop you. We've been commanded to go. He could stop you. He could change your direction or change your course. But you go. Everybody's waiting. I am concerned that this hesitation is not so much waiting for a word. We're just scared. We're just timid. We're just, you know, shy or afraid. I bet you if you act first on the go, then the waiting would be very, very short. Because we like to help people who are going. But we have more people waiting than going. So go. There are infinite possibilities out there
infinite ways that God can work and will work. There are
infinite things that God can do and has done. So go, because there are infinite ways that God could demonstrate his power. Go.
Preach the gospel to all men, because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Hello?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, I give you thanks and praise, and I worship you for your goodness and your mercy towards us. And in my own heart, I haven't gone as I should go. Too much hesitation and pandering to my comfort. And once again, your word challenges us to take up our cross and to follow, to go, to just get out and share. And I pray that today, as we are reminded of the power of the resurrected Christ, that we will not hesitate. Bless our time together, and may this word have some influence upon our lives. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall I do a... Sorry, my dear. I was about to think about doing a postlude to my message, you know, one of these poetry things that I do. And I'll probably just do one for you.
It says time is slipping away, so we should be, you know, buy up the opportunity and go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I don't crush my microphone. There we go.
Time is on and off like an indicator, like a sickening cough, kind of like a penetrator penetrating society. As men without sobriety struggle for power and ease, refusing to talk and then faking peace. But as you turn your back, you know they're back at their nasty genocide games, just killing and making claims. You see, the world is changing fast, rearranging its past. The present looks bad and the future looks bleak. The things are happening now, of which we can't afford to speak. But what can I say? Prophecy is unfolding. Before our very eyes, we're beholding signs in the land, which just goes to show that the end of the age is at hand. From South Africa to Liberia, in the West Bank, Jerusalem and Gaza, in Serbia, Bosnia, Croatia, Yugoslavia was. So too is China, India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka. Tigers in the land, Ireland, England, Canada. You see, the third world is returning to the first world, America. A kind of historical backlash is Columbus, Haiti, and Cuba. Brazil, Jamaica, and Trinidad have put an end to the bad. You see, the evil has taken over our land. Let's bring Jesus and put him in command. So come, my brothers, sisters, come. Feel the urgency, the need to finish the commission. Don't shun from the fact that it's going to cost us something. It might be a life, but no, it's no quitting. Automatic fire, preach like thunder and lightning. When my time is up, I'm going up fighting. When my time is up, I'm going up fighting. Time is slipping away. And after the night comes the day. Time is slipping away. And after the night comes the day. Time is slipping away, and after the night comes the day. Thank you.